Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One. Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Well, we got more Michael Ian Black news and All Balls and Chris Myers coming up with that as well. First, I'll tell you about Bet Online. Football is back, y'all. And it's the best time to be a fan because all the sports are up and running out there. Bet Online has all the action covered. This Sunday, we got Vikings at Texans and Steelers at Titans. Bills at Raiders. That's going to be a good game. Chargers at Buccaneers. Patriots at Chiefs. Ooh. Eagles at 49ers. Lots of good action coming up this Sunday. More options to wager than anywhere online, from spreads and totals to props. Get in on season opening bonuses and wager on division and championship futures. Head to Bet Online today. Take advantage of all the great sign up bonuses. Visit betonline.ag, our exclusive partner, Podcast One. And don't forget promo code Podcast One for your sign up bonus today. Bet Online, your online sportsbook experts.
Give me the news with Grad. News with Gino Grad. Breaking viral. All those crazy Trump tweets. Give me news with Gino Grad. Trouble in the Middle East. Celebrity drunk meltdowns. Eat news with Gino Grad.
The news with Gino Grad.
So we got some more hot, piping hot tax gate, Brian. Loves when we add gate to everything. New York Times reported that they obtained Donald Trump's tax information for more than 20 years. According to the Times, Trump only paid $750 in federal income tax in 2016, another $750 the following year. It says he paid no income tax at all in 10 of the previous 15 years, mostly because he claimed he lost much more money than he made. A lawyer for the Trump Organization claimed most, if not all, the facts appear to be inaccurate. And then, of course, Trump's not going to let someone he's not going to chill and cool his heels while somebody else speaks for him. So he tweeted. He had a lot to tweet. I'll sum it up for you. He defended his tax history, saying that he paid millions of dollars to the IRS and argued he's entitled to tax credits like everyone else. He also said, also, if you look at the extraordinary assets owned by me, which the fake news hasn't, I'm extremely under-leveraged. I have very little debt compared to the value of assets. Ended by saying it's a very impressive statement, his tax statement, and also shows that I'm the only president on record to give up my yearly $400,000-plus presidential salary.
Can we just implement some sort of flat system or something that we wouldn't have to get into this? It seems so endlessly complicated and insane. Everybody who can is going to take full advantage of paying the least into the system as humanly possible before going full Wesley Snipes. Can we just pick a flat tax? Every once in a while, somebody brings it up, some politician. It always sounds tempting to me. I think everyone would be down with paying a certain amount, but aren't we just asking people to cheat and corporations just to move offshore and everyone to kind of do the wrong thing? This notion that people are just going to pay their fair share because they should pay their fair share, that's completely out the window. People are going to pay as little as humanly possible. Or you're not running a corporation, or you're not doing your job, whether you're Trump or Nike. Why don't we just flatten it out and see if we can get rid of all the loopholes and deductions and everything?
Yeah, like you said before,
they're talking about. I don't think they're talking about. This is his personal federal income tax. It's not his corporate income tax. This is what Trump himself made. And I think the argument is he's not who he said he is.
Oh,
he's
not
a billionaire.
Oh, well, doesn't everyone know that? I mean, he lies about fucking everything.
There's about 43% of the population that really doesn't.
Oh, I think they know he's lying. I think they don't care. I think we're beyond lying.
Well, and according to the New York Times, he's venturing dangerously close into Real Housewives territory because they say he wrote off $70,000 worth of hairstyling.
Here's what I don't understand about that. Like we've all been on shows. Like, we all understand that, like, when you show up someplace, they've hired a hair person, or you can provide one and they'll pay for it. Like, the whole thing was like he paid 70 grand when he was on The Apprentice for hairstyling, but why was he going out of pocket at all when he doesn't go out of pocket for anything? That's what doesn't make sense to me.
I would say that Mariah Carey probably suffers from the same thing, which is you get your hair person, and your hair person is way more than they've budgeted for hair, because they have the hair, like they have two hair people and they get $200 a day and they do everyone. And like Mariah Carey and Trump have their own hair person and they get $500 a day or whatever it is, and they come with them. So that's probably the way the hair works, as far as I know. I don't think your pedestrian hair person is going to work for them.
Also, have we done for rich man, poor man, not paying into the system? Because is that not the ultimate?
Yes, I think that is the ultimate. So if you pay $750, does that mean you made $1,400 that year? Or
your company, or 21? Or you took a loss.
Yeah.
A big loss.
I don't.
He's been taking losses. That's what he said on his IRS forms. Every year he takes losses, hundreds of millions of dollars.
But doesn't everyone just say that not to pay taxes? Like, don't they attempt to not?
I mean, it's fraud. If you lie, it is fraud. If you tell the IRS one thing and it turns out not to be true, that's tax fraud.
Right. But
when you're the president, that seems like a bad thing.
Yeah, I agree. Everyone I know is incorporated. They get incorporated and then the corporation pays them. But then their expenses are always zeroed out by how much they got in income. So it ends up being a wash at the end of the year. So they didn't make any money because their expenses.
Well, that's exactly how I do it. That is exactly how I do it. But what happens is whatever's left over in the corporation at the end of the year, like you pay yourself in salary and then you have to pay income tax on that salary that you take. That's your personal federal income tax that you're paying. He's saying that he didn't make any money personally, which is just kind of hard to believe, unless he's just so fucking broke.
Well, either he's so fucking broke or he's going to get audited, right? Or continue to be audited or something, right? I don't know. I think that audit is bullshit.
I mean, I read the entire article last night, so, and I don't understand a lot of the finer tax points, but I believe that the center of the audit is the $72.9 million tax credit he claimed and was given. That it looks to be a little bit dubious. And the reason he showed these losses every year is because apparently, I don't know if it's specifically real estate or if it's or big business in general, but if you take a big loss in one year, there's a law that allows you to amortize that over many years. And he did just that. He basically said, all right, well, I'm taking this $100 million loss and I'm making it a $10 million. There's a statute, like a little limitations where you can only do it for so many years, but he took $10 million over 10 years or something like that.
Well, it'll never come up in the debate tonight as we hear this. That much we know.
Yeah, no, that's safe to assume.
All right.
Well, nobody's going to bring it up.
I like the flat tax, even though I can't describe it to anybody.
Or an agent's fee. Like every entertainer pays 10% to your agent, right? That's ideally what a flat tax would be, but of course it wouldn't work like that.
I guess
that's why
not,
it's never been implemented.
It'd be nice if it would.
Sure.
Well, just rounding out the political news stories, and not really, because it's really about The Rock. He's getting political. Dwayne Johnson really wants to get political this year for the first time. He admits that politics is something he usually plays close to the vest, but now he's feeling the urge to speak out about his opinion. Here he is from Sunday announcing his endorsement.
As a registered independent for years now with centrist ideologies, I do feel that Vice President Biden and Senator Harris are the best choice to lead our country, and I am endorsing them to become president and vice president of our United States.
He also had a conversation with them about voter turnout that he posted on Instagram, and he says,
hey, can I say this? Yeah. I like The Rock, but when you get serious and you get political, you got to get a shirt that's got a little bit of leeway around the triceps and the delts and the whatever. You look like Hans and Franz. Like, it's distracting. It's taking away from the message. I mean, I know
he's
the
rock. President Camacho.
I know,
go President
he's gone Camacho. Full Camacho. Like, I
think he thinks it's adding to the message.
That sweater is so distractingly tight on him. I mean, that sweater's made for a teenage boy. I mean, let's show it one more time. Let me see. That is like, I get his muscles are big, but they still make bigger sweaters, right?
That's Michael's son's sweater.
Right. And I'm just saying, I feel like this is the serious rock who's given it some thought, and he's worried about this nation and the direction we're moving. I don't want to see his nipples or measure the size of his areola poking through
you
this.
You see his arm vein. Tight. You see his like bicep
yeah.
vein.
Pushing through the sweater.
Yeah, that's a tight sweater.
That's a snug sweater. I'm saying something with a little more flow and a little more give just for this message, and then get, you know, you're selling tequila or having a cheat day or something. Get back to that.
No, I think you're absolutely right. He encourages discourse on his Instagram. He says, no matter what your opinion is, if it differs from mine, I'll always be okay with that. You can yell all you want. I won't block you. I won't yell back. So he's the rock at his peak rockness. And we've discussed this on the show before, Michael. None of us would be shocked if at some point it's, you know, Dwayne Johnson 2024.
He said, hasn't he said he was going to run at some point? Like he was going to do some political shit. Hasn't he?
Oh, I'm sure it's come up.
Well, I will tell you this. One person said that The Rock is going to run.
Hmm.
We've got a little audiobook clip from I'm your emotional support animal.
Okay. What I don't get enough credit for is that I actually called it 8 years before the election on my morning radio show. In March 2008, my news girl, Teresa Strasser, played a clip of the Donald telling people that in order to make money, they had to love what they do. After making fun of that idiotic cliche, I said the following. He's going to be president in 8 years. You understand that, everybody?
Ugh.
You understand Donald Trump is going to be president. He'll be president one day. It'll be in our lifetime. Since I successfully prognosticated this presidency, let me put my turban on and gaze into the future at some other possible celebrants. Michael Strahan. He just never stops climbing. He's charming, can read a teleprompter, works his ass off, and checks the racial box. Dwayne The Rock Johnson. Another ex-jock with a crazy work ethic. Perfect for our crazy troubled times. He's got a built-in campaign slogan, solid as the rock. It'll be great in the debate when he arches his eyebrow and says, can you smell what the rock is cooking? I'll tell you what the rock's cooking. A 3% increase in gross domestic product, a 6% middle class tax cut, and proportional increase to the child care credit. That son of a bitch could pay off half the national debt with what he's pulling in for just the Fast and Furious movies. Ooh, running mate, Jason Statham. I can see the bumper sticker already. Hobbs and Shaw, 2024. Let's make this happen, people. Well, let's hope so. Because you wonder if a guy like Dwayne Johnson, for these guys, it's all, everything's a challenge. All of life is just challenge-based, you know, like, How many Kevin Hart movies can you make before you just go, fuck it, check that box? Like, most of us are in some mode where, like, trying to get to some place that he was at 14 years ago or something. Like, how long before you can just keep dominating the action genre of movies and go, fuck it, I want to make real change. Like, I want to be in a position mm-hmm. where I'm actually, instead of, you know, entertaining people, I'm actually making change.
Ask Schwarzenegger.
Yeah. Schwarzenegger tried.
Ask Reagan.
That's true. Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised at all. All right. Let me hit Tommy John here. I was just talking about pushing yourself. Yeah, I push myself. But you want to be uncomfortable? No. And that's where Tommy John comes in. Real comfort with Tommy John. Start every morning in Tommy John underwear. I do. And it's much more comfortable. It makes everything you do easier and better. If you're taking the dog for a walk, you're taking a jog, you're working out, or just hanging out. Tommy John, they don't have customers. They have converts. And that is true. once I got Tommy John, I never went back to my old underwear again. I literally will go through the drawer and just pull out the Tommy John. Breathable, lightweight, moisture wicking fabric. Four times the stretch of competing brands, moves with you, non-rolling waistbands, legs never ride up, no wedgie guarantee. Best pair you'll ever wear. Or it's free guarantee, right, Dawson?
Get that much more comfortable with TommyJohn.com/Adam and save 20% on your first order. Save 20% right now at TommyJohn.com/Adam. TommyJohn.com/Adam.
You know, it's funny. I bet if Trump, like Zuckerberg is really rich, right?
He's really rich. It's a multi-billionaire, yes.
And he's a flip-flop cargo short kind of guy. You know what I mean? Trump is doing an impersonation of a rich guy.
Yes.
I bet if he was that rich, he would. Yeah, I always look at everything as kind of a psychological thing. Like when you are really that rich, I would bet if you pick the 10 richest people on the planet, they're rounding it down in terms of how they dress, the crowd they move with. Like Trump is doing like an 80s farcical caricature of a rich person.
Yeah, it's funny. John Mulaney has an old joke about that, saying that he's what a hobo's idea of a rich man is.
How can John Mulaney have an old joke? He's 23 and a half.
From a few years ago. And I want to fire people with my children.
Right, right. It's like the women who are female impersonators. Like, this is what a woman would look like if they were trying to be a beautiful woman, whereas always the truly beautiful women just sort of are. You know, they're the ones wearing the jeans with no makeup, like you, Gina Grand.
Thank you.
There was an interview with him with Rona Barrett, if you remember her from
years ago,
where they were talking about his like financial problems in like the 80s. And she was like, what would you do if you ever went broke? And I think he said, I would run for president.
Wow. Rona Barrett.
That came out today.
Rona Barrett had bad hair, even by 80 standards.
I have to look her up now because I don't remember really what she looks like.
Oh, she was just one of those. She was kind of one of those women I remember when I was young thinking, am I really that attracted to women? I don't know. And she wasn't even ugly. She just was sort of unappealing in a very 80s way. She had like 80s hair and.
She did have very 80s hair, but she's pretty. I'm looking at images of her from her heyday.
Oh my. Is that the 20s or the 80s?
She had a unique look.
While we're looking that up, Adam, I would normally never shit on your points, but when you dismiss my assertion that there are still people who think, you know, Trump's a successful businessman, you laughed and said, I think we all figured it out. According to a Politico poll, a majority, 54% of respondents, of voters, say they think Trump has been successful in business. 85% of Republicans say Trump has been successful, while only 10% of Republicans say that he has been unsuccessful. So some people need some convincing.
Well, I think maybe we should draw a distinction between rich and successful. He seems successful. I don't know if you can be successful without being rich, but you know,
not as a business, like real estate developer, I wouldn't imagine.
But the problem is the TV show possibly in the presidency, like the TV show was a very successful TV show. So people think of that as successful. And then, too many buildings with his name on it. I don't know. I feel like I don't. And also, I don't know. Like, I don't know what the news is anymore. I don't know if the guy is successful or not successful. I know he's not Zuckerberg. He's something, right? I mean, he's not what he claims he is.
As I mentioned, I read the whole article. This is something I learned. I didn't know this. He's the minority owner in a lot of those buildings. Like, he owns like, you know, 30%.
I still wish my dad did whatever he did financially. That's basically what I'm saying. Maybe the bar is too low for me. Maybe I'm coming from North Hollywood poor.
That's
but
fair.
Yes. So it's interesting. Unsuccessful versus successful. And then
He's made hundreds of millions of dollars, no doubt. But if his net worth, that's a philosophical question, I guess. If your net worth is underwater, are you successful?
Well, I guess if you die before having to pay everyone back.
Yeah, like, that's right. You got out.
If your main mode of transportation when you're destitute is a helicopter, yeah. Then I guess you gain the system at that point, right? Like, maybe you fucking cheated the system, and maybe, you know, it's a weird thing. It's like when Mike Tyson would be bankrupt, but he would still own Tigers and stay in a penthouse, then what does that mean then? Yeah.
Michael Jackson.
Michael Jackson. It's like, he's bankrupt. He's bought another urn on a shopping spree.
He has a 10,000-acre house.
He put in another roller coaster.
He's going on shopping sprees and buying antiquities. Like, but he's broke. Yeah, I don't know how that works. All right, anyway. What do we got?
Well, it's time to honor someone or something, depending on how you look at it, who's been very, very helpful. One small little mammal is responsible for helping clear undetonated landmines out of more than 35 acres of land in Cambodia. And he's now been awarded a medal commemorating the achievement. Everybody, meet Magawa,
He's still alive?
Yes. Look at that little sweetie pie. Was awarded a civilian award for animal bravery by the People's Dispensary for Sick Animals on September 25th. It's the charity's highest civilian honor, and according to the AP, is equivalent to the George Cross, which is an award to British civilians or soldiers who perform acts of greatness or heroism. He's wearing a little medal. In the past 5 years, Magawa has found 39 landmines and 28 items of unexploded ordnance, clearing more than 141,000 square meters of land and making the area safe for local communities. His official job is Hero Rat, and a Belgian organization trains rats to find landmines. It's estimated that 4 to 6 million landmines were laid in Cambodia since the 1970s, with at least 3 million still unaccounted for. He sniffs them out, and he's so light, he doesn't detonate them.
Is that a rat? He looked big for a rat.
It's a giant African pouched rat. That's what it's called.
Yeah, fucked up animal.
Like a nutria.
Yeah. Wow. Good. I like all this shit. You know me. Get the dogs sniffing out the venereal diseases. Get the rats finding the landmines. I thought Lady Di cleared all those landmines back in the 90s, but that could have...
She made a dent.
That could have just been a photo op. I don't know. I don't speak ill of the dead, but I thought she did. That's basically what she did. All right, good.
Is it because the rat's body weight doesn't trigger the mines? Is that why they're good at it?
I think so, because they, like, a dog would be too heavy, but rats can sniff out really well, and they're compact.
Yeah, and you want that. You don't want a mine going off every time a bird lands. That's not good killing. You know what I mean? They have to have the right weight. It's kind of interesting. I talked to Dan Crenshaw, who obviously had the mine go off and blew up, and that's how he lost his eye.
Right.
And that whole mine world is weird and scary and dicey, like how some are activated, you know, some are people watching it, some are like triggered, some they pick them up and move them, you know, some of them they go off on batteries, you know, so it's like the battery will wear out. Not these mines, but like the more modern ones, the improvised ones that are in some of the conflicts we've been in over the last few years. You know, they'll go out and take the batteries out during the downtime. And then when the helicopters are coming in, they'll go run out and plug them back in. It's like, ugh, yuck, mines.
Was his job to clear mines, or it was just, one just went off?
No, he was a Navy SEAL. His guys landed. They would be mindful, pardon the pun, of like when the best time to travel and walk the roads and stuff were, you know, like if you're going to walk a road, you just go in a straight line, one behind each other. Not good if you're ambushed, but good for not stepping on mines. And his translator, who was a couple of feet in front of him, stepped on the mine, I think he lost all four of his limbs and then died. And meanwhile, Dan got hit with a bunch of shrapnel sort of just behind the guy.
Adam, that's all well and good, but I'd like to remind you, because it seems like you've forgotten, that there are people at the Ellen DeGeneres show who were talked down to.
That was a toxic environment.
Yeah.
Yeah. Some of...
So it's kind of a one-to-one comparison.
A lot of sandwiches, not a lot of hot meals. Only hot meals were Friday. Yeah, I know. It's tough. It was a toxic environment, toxic work environment. Yeah, go walk around with the Navy SEALs and look out for mines and snipers.
Was somebody on the Ellen DeGeneres show comparing themselves to what Dan Crenshaw went through?
No, that was me. That was me doing it.
You were.
No, I was just saying everyone who's like, we have this thing where it's like a toxic work environment. And I was like, you get free food and air conditioning. Go back historically. Toxic work environments were actually toxic. There was like fumes. There was lead. You know what I mean? Like I've been on a few sets and I like people to be in a good mood, but, look, nobody made fun of Ellen more than me. I'm the last guy to defend Ellen. I'm just saying you go to a place, the food is free. You got air conditioning. And if you don't like it, you can get another job. That's the way I look at it. And by the way, that's Hollywood and production. It's like they're in a little bit of a hurry, and people don't always mind their P's and Q's. But
do you remember the movie Swimming with Sharks with Kevin Spacey and Frank Whaley in the 90s? Mm-hmm. Fantastic movie, and just about the abusive nature of working for an agent and stuff. Like, this is so commonplace. They've made movies about, like, oh yeah, of course, but it just that shit don't fly anymore.
No,
I'm glad. I don't want to work like that.
Yeah, I don't think anybody does, but it's just funny that it was.
Michael, I mean, it's how I treat my staff. Don't get me wrong.
Of course, yeah.
I'm just saying, given the choice between stepping on a landmine in Tikrit or working for Ellen, that's what I'm saying. It's a binary thing.
Those are your only two options.
Right.
I suspect even the disgruntled people on Ellen's staff would also choose working for Ellen over going to Decree.
I suspect. You may be right. Or at least 70%.
Clear majority.
What are you looking at, Gina? What do you got? I didn't even know what we were talking about.
Did everyone hear that, or was it just me?
No, I think it was just you.
Oh, okay. So a significant change coming up on The Simpsons, which I believe just aired, if this is the right week I pulled here, the role of Carl Carlson on The Simpsons has officially been recast for season 32. It had always been Hank Azaria, who played him for almost 31 years. Now it's Alex DeZaire, who you'll know.
From Swingers.
Swingers and, God, Becker.
I think he was in PCU.
Everything. Yes, he was. I mean, you absolutely know the face.
You guys are going actor. Back 20, aired last night. 20 years.
Aired Sunday. Yeah, also High Fidelity, the show Better Things. He's taking over. The change comes as The Simpsons joins several animated shows like Big Mouth, Family Guy, and Central Park in recasting white actors who were previously voicing black characters. Azaria also, you know, he plays everybody. Wiggum, the comic book guy, Professor Frink, Mo Sizlak, but he's not doing Carl. We know he's not doing Apu from the documentary that came out, The Problem with Apu, which kind of created this sea change. Azaria eventually relented and agreed to no longer voice Apu after that. And they now have added a new cast member.
They must have just aired it because I think
Sunday night.
The new Family Guy was on Sunday night. So they must have coincided with that. God, that's a lot of product. All right. Next has to be, what's his name from Bob's Burgers?
I was going to say, 75% of the Bob's Burger cast.
They're doing women's voices.
Yeah.
You can't do that.
Yeah.
Bad optics. Bad look. Yeah.
The mom, Linda.
It all started with Kids in the Hall.
Yeah, Eugene Merman. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. If you can't do black people, then should be able to hop around from a gender standpoint.
Eugene's good. Eugene plays the son.
Eugene basically plays himself.
Yeah, he gets to stay.
Oh, Eugene's fine. All right, let me hit.
That's one of my favorite. Can I just tell you?
Oh yeah, Bart Simpson.
Oh yeah, of course.
Of course.
I brought that up on this very show.
That's right. Sorry.
My favorite Eugene Merman joke. I listen to a lot of comedy. He was talking about how he had an audition for something. He had to wear period clothing. He said, but it was a last minute audition, you know, something from the turn of the last century. I didn't have any period clothing. So to the audition, I just wore a suit and a sign around my neck that said Irish need not apply.
Dan Mintz. That's who plays. Yeah, Dan Mintz. All right. Let me hit GovX. Well, we're just talking about this. Military or first responder. Visit GovX.com to sign up for free instant access to tons of deals and community that honors your service. Your job demands a lot. Deployments, long shifts, dangerous situations. GovX believes patriots deserve special recognition. Deals on gear, stuff you need on duty or off duty. All the big brands like Oakley, Yeti, Garmin, Danner, and more. Every month, GovX supports nonprofits serving military, first responders, and law enforcement communities as well. And you can sign up. It's easy and it's fast. it's totally free. Become a member and do it today. Use the code Adam. Get $15 off your first order of $50 or more. That is govx.com. Savings for those who serve. All right, let's do one more, Gina Gran.
Oh, I was hoping you'd say that because we have some hot, hot, hot Gwyneth Paltrow naked news. Mm. She went to Instagram on Sunday to announce that it was her birthday and to do a little light peddling for her Goop empire. And here's how she did it. We have the picture. 48-year-old actress posed naked next to a tree with a caption, let's see, in nothing but my birthday suit. Thank you all so much for the birthday wishes. And thank you to Goop's insanely amazing brand new body butter for making me think I can still get my kit off. Hashtag Goop jeans. And that's how she celebrated her birthday this year.
What's your power kit? To her. How do you get your kit off?
I don't know what that means.
Does anyone know what getting your kit off?
I can still get my kit off.
Is that a British thing?
Is that what she's doing?
I'm guessing.
Like take your clothes off?
Yeah, maybe take your clothes off at some point.
I've shed my caboodle. But I don't know if that's related.
Michael, God bless you. Get one's kit off, and it's a term from the UK to remove one's clothes. Take off all your clothes.
Got it.
Thank you for that.
Thank you,
Michael.
This just goes back to the beginning of the interview when you said I seem like I'm educated.
Yeah.
All goes full circle.
Real thanks needs to go to Chris Martin, though, because he's probably told her to get her kit off quite a few times before that.
She looks great.
She looks great. Now, do we like it? Is it cheating? Are you stealing? Is it like, do you guys feel that way with like Chelsea Handler when she's constantly like going, I'm going nude to talk about something? Is it a worthy cause, or are you just kind of drawing focus?
I mean, didn't the Kardashians kick this door down so hard that we really can't judge anyone for taking their clothes off and selling a product?
Yeah, I was going to say, when it was, you know, for PETA, that's one thing, but for Goop.
But don't we expect this out of the Kardashians, but set a slightly higher bar for others?
Well, this isn't the first time she's done it.
Red Eagle.
Yeah.
I mean, it's pretty
swipe
tasteful.
Left.
It's real tasteful.
No, I just mean like, I don't know. What do you guys, to me, it feels like narcissistic. Like, A, I look good naked, so I'm getting naked. And
yeah,
then B,
self-promotion.
I'm just going to draw some eyeballs. And then B, it's interesting. Look, I'm just jealous because it's like, Adam, take your shirt off and we get 100 million clicks. Like, yeah, we don't have that ability. You know what I mean? We have whatever, we'll live and die on whatever the words are. But I mean, and maybe I'm jealous, but I don't know. Do we like her or don't we like her? Do you know her, Michael?
She seems genuine.
I mean, hard to say. Michael, what do you think?
The only time I've been in her presence was years ago in New York City when she was dating Brad Pitt. And she was just kind of becoming a huge star. And I remember my friend kind of knew her and had a crush on her. And then she shows up with Brad Pitt and he's like, oh, I see.
Right.
This isn't going to happen. This is not going to happen at all. I don't really have an opinion on her. Particularly, I will say that we have one of her cookbooks in my house and it is excellent.
I will say my wife has several Goop products and they're all pretty great.
She does not.
She has the little sunscreen stick that it's almost like chapstick. You twist it and rub it on. And we're at the beach one day. I forgot, sunblock. I'm like, oh, let me borrow that. Rubbed it on my head, my face. I'm like, That feels very, very light and sheer.
I started
steaming my vagina after she started doing it, and it's made a world of difference. I have to say.
Try that.
Tighter, more supple.
Oh, I'm so supple and firm, which I wasn't expecting. It firmed me up. Kegels were great, but the steaming really firmed me up.
I think my grandfather steamed his vagina back in the day when he was cooking for my grandmother constantly. Yeah, I'm in general with the Gwyneths of the world. Like, I probably wouldn't want to have long conversations with them, and they especially wouldn't want to have a long conversation with me. So it's a two way street. But you have employees, you're paying taxes. God bless you. You're not part of the problem. I'm going to be definitely consistent. Anyone who creates things, provides work for other people, pays into the system, God bless you. All right. Should we bring it home, Gina Grad?
Let's do it. I'm Gina Grad, and that's the news.
Gina Grad!
That was the news with Gina Grad.
Well, last but not least, we got Geico. Right now, Geico is offering an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies. That'd be 15% on top of what you could already be saving if you're with Geico. So there's never been a better time to switch to Geico. Save an extra 15% when you switch by October 7th. That is Geico at geico.com. All right, Michael Ian Black, thank you for popping in. A Better Man, a Mostly Serious Letter to My Son, and it's available now on Amazon. And the website is michaelianblack.com if you want to find out where Mike's doing it and what he's doing as well. Thanks, Michael Ian Black.
Thank you, Adam. Thank you, Gina. Thank you, Brad. Thank you, everybody.
We'll do it again, and we're going to throw it to sports with Chris Myers and Jeff Cesario, and we'll do that right after this.
It's time to break down the game film and look at the X's and O's, the KOs and the O-Nos from the world of sports. BetOnline presents All Balls, All Sports.
Welcome to All Balls, All Sports. I'm Jeff Cesario. We got, of course, Adam Carolla here. And unbelievably enough, the host of the Chris Myers Interview Podcast, Chris Myers, veteran sportscaster. Chris, how are you?
I'm good. It's good to talk to you. Everybody good?
I know
you look fantastic. Now, you call the Rams game, and I know Adam's got he's fired up. He's got some questions.
Oh, the officiating. Yeah, two major calls. Things do even out. I've heard that expression my whole life. I wasn't necessarily buying it, but in this game, they evened out, but at different times. And that's what I think hurts in life, right? You think, I need it to even out now, not at this point.
Yeah.
That's kind of
Well, relationships are that way, but you need them immediately. The pass interference call, that's just a kind of coin toss kind of call. You know, they both kind of locked up on each other. If you look at the letter of the law, that should draw a flag. I get it. I don't like calls like that at that point in the game, but in a weird way, I'm going to be consistent because many years ago when Julio Cesar Chavez was fighting, I don't know, Meldrick Taylor, or maybe it was Pernell Whitaker. I always get the two confused. But Julio was unbeaten. He was being beaten the entire fight. And with 2 seconds left, the ref stopped it because he was pummeling Meldrick Taylor in the corner. And everyone said, you don't stop it with 2 seconds left. And I said, the ref shouldn't be looking at the clock. You either stop it or don't stop it. That's how I look at it. And I feel the same way. Look, it's either defensive pass interference or holding, or it's not. It shouldn't be what quarter are we in. But fine. The interceptions seem bizarre to me. The Rams interception. They went up. The offensive player caught the ball. They came down. They were just sort of 50-50 on the ball laying on the ground. That's 100% that goes to the receiver 100% Absolutely. Of the time. How did that happen that they reviewed it and gave it to the defense?
Well, what's unusual, too, is Tyler Croft, the tight end, had it.
Right.
He hits the ground with Johnny Johnson touching it. So he's down right away, and then it takes it away. It's like a high school play where there's no ref. You get away with that. But they review it, and it to me, even our rules analyst at Fox, Mike Pereira, said, no, that's – it's a reception and it's down. You can't call that an interception. But there are three layers in New York now with the NFL review. They have a former coach in there. They have a former referee. And then they have kind of someone who's a video expert. And we were all shocked. They communicate with the official down on the field, and they made the decision. But that, to me, was, clearly a blown call. But the one at the end I want to go back to, because that was reviewable before the pass interference. Remember, we had that mess last year, and then that was on a trial basis, and there was too much. They just, you know, in terms of executing the proper terminology, couldn't do it, so they threw that out. But to me, that play looked like offensive pass interference, if anything, on the Buffalo receiver. And I agree with you. If it's clear and obvious, and that's the one thing that I think they're pushing this year, the officiating crew, not defending them here, but they are using refs who are with regional groups because of COVID and travel and all of that. So they don't have their same group every week. That communication is a little bit different. So I think in that case, I would have let that one go because the receiver was running into the defensive back who really didn't have much. And I just think the flow of the game, that was a call. You let him play. It's like a foul at the end of the game. If it's just real obvious where the guy gets hacked, you call it. Otherwise, you let it go. So that crew, oddly enough, flying back from Buffalo, having to change planes, and they were on the plane that I was on, and I could hear them, you know, mumbling with each other about, I missed that, or I didn't know that. And I felt like, so why did you guys say that when we were on television? You could have helped everybody watching. So anyway, you know, two bad calls, one went against the Rams, one went against Buffalo.
Well, the one that went against Buffalo on the interception, a lot of flags came flying in, so they were going to call offensive pass interference, right?
He pushed off, yes. Right. So the Rams, that's why when I heard the Rams were going to decline, I'm like, well, why are they going to decline? The guy caught the ball. I mean, you back him up 15, but then they declined it because it was close to their bench and their player, Johnny Johnson, came out with the ball and said, I have it. And when the official ruled interception instead of a catch, that's what threw me. But all just like scoring plays, change of possession, in other words, a fumble recovery, those are automatically reviewed anyway to make sure that they get it right. Here they reviewed, and it seemed like they got it wrong.
Would you guys sign off on a mulligan, or what we used to call a takey, you know, just a takeover? Like, as a Rams fan, and I suppose as a Bills fan, when you saw that pass interference at the end of the game, they review it. It's kind of 50-50. It's kind of hard to tell. You don't want to end this game based on this call. On the other hand, there was contact. Would you guys sign off if they just said, let's just run it again? Just pick up the flag. We're not going to give you a fresh set of downs. We're not going to move the ball. This is a coin toss. He could have thrown the flag. He didn't. We looked at it. Nobody can decide. It's fourth down again, or it's third down again. I can't remember. Fourth down again.
Yeah, that was actually, that was fourth down on that call. So the game ended. The Rams would have won. There wasn't enough time. But they do have offsetting penalties where nobody gets penalized, right, and they replay the down. So I guess you could, I don't know if I'd be in favor of that, because in that situation, somebody could try something and hope to show something and then try something different on their last shot going through it. But the irony too, if you are a Rams fan watching or listening, remember the Sunday night game to start the season against, right, Dallas, the Cowboy offensive interference call against Jalen Ramsey, which in a sense, not as dramatic, but in a sense sealed the game for the Rams. So again, another way of things kind of evening out. Look, and it is the human element of officiating. I thought what was lost in that, and I'm glad people are talking more about Josh Allen and the kind of game that was, because the Rams had never had a comeback in their history from down 25 to win a game. And they were in position to do that. And Buffalo in their history had never blown a 21-point lead or more to lose a game. And for Josh Allen, who's kind of a young, developing quarterback, he's from the Fresno area, Fireball, California, farming community, leading the Bills. The game had so many cool elements to it, and officiating is part of it. But to me, it did smear the game just a little bit. But there was a lot of comebacks in a game that obviously Buffalo had the final comeback.
You had a nice turn of phrase with the flow of the game. Maybe that's something that could be used in the last 2 minutes of a game under the umbrella of flow of the game. maybe there's some sort of neutrality call that Adam's talking about.
Well, I think, you know, progressive with Flo, they may have that they already stamped, marketed. I don't know how they'll fit that in.
Son
somewhere.
Of a gun.
I mean, Flo will show up. She shows up everywhere. So you want her officiating in the flow of the game? Not a bad suggestion, though. I'll mulligan. I kind of like that. If teams agree to it, it's worth bringing up.
Well, you know, I had this idea many years ago that Rich Eisen fell in love with that'll float with you guys, which is you were talking about the interception with the Rams and how every person I knew who saw the replay of that, it looked like a catch, looked like he hit the ground, looked like the Rams player wrestled it away. Those calls, they're made all the time. They're sort of 50-50 balls, and then the tie goes to the runner. It's like the tie, the nod is to the guy who caught the ball, you know.
Right.
And then you said, well, they went to New York and they had the coach and they had the ref and they had the equipment manager. And it's like, maybe they know too much. Maybe they, you know, sometimes you know too much. You're Michelin rated chef and you can't enjoy the meal anymore. You know too much. And this is where my idea came in, because my feeling was always, I didn't like it when they would go under the hood and they'd go not enough to overturn the call made on the field. My feeling was always like, you made a bad call and this is not enough to undo your bad call. We should start from neutral. We should start from what is it? Did he catch it or not? You know,
right.
And that's when I floated this idea. Each stadium comes with the replay gimp. He gets pulled out of the basement. He's in full leather. He's being flogged by his handler. He doesn't know the teams. He doesn't know what day it is. He's disoriented. The sunlight is burning his eyes. And we just show him it. And we go, did that guy catch the ball or not catch the ball? He's not reading in hundreds of years of experience and what he knows and his team that he knows. It's just all he knows is this video that's in front of him, and then the replay gimp goes right back down into the bowels of the stadium where Philadelphia keeps its prison, and that's where they as they go. And it'd be great for the crowd because he has his handler, you know, and his handler is pulling him out by the chain. And when he makes a call that goes against the hometown, he starts flogging him as he's pulling him back, as he's driving him back to his dungeon.
Kind of blending UFC into officiating.
Little Tarantino.
It has. But that sounds, you know, Mike Pereira, the rules, he has said before, look, if five people watching at a sports bar say he caught the ball, right, you know, with the sound down again, not a fan, not somebody who wagered on that game or had it, then it's a catch. And you're right about the over, the analogy, was it? It's paralysis by over analysis or something like that. And in this case, the official, and you can, and both of you can relate, when you see something live, you know, we're watching, and then they replay it and slow it down. There was a catch. Stephon Diggs had a low throw, caught it, ran into the end zone, ruled touchdown, looked clear to us. We saw two different angles. Then the third angle showed the ball touched the ground. He used the ground to catch it. And obviously, scoring play was reviewed. And so the new term is either it's stands or it's overturned. They're trying to adjust some of the terminology. But I do think seeing things live and then replay, and they knew they were going into this world, it has changed the amount of views and the way you look at things. But that's where the pass interference thing is. You know, you're shoving a guy, he's shoving back. I mean, it's football. You gotta let him play. But we'll just call him the unknown. We have the unknown comic. We can have the unknown official come out.
Replay gimp. Every stadium has their own.
That's your term.
Every stadium has their own. And, you know, anyway. The Rams, we kind of do them up and we kind of a little L.A. look, maybe bedazzle his gimp outfit. You know what I mean?
More skin, maybe.
Yeah.
In L.A., more skin.
Buffalo has another look to their replay gimp. It's a regional.
It's a regional thing, like the officials do.
Yeah.
I would say that obviously the gimp is anonymous. We don't know who the gimp is. The gimp is in the bowels of the stadium.
Twitter would attack him.
But the handler becomes a big star. The handler becomes like the girlfriend of the professional wrestler, the hot chick who's walking out in front. You know, it doesn't have to be a lady, but you know what I'm saying.
You really got this going here. Tarantino could run with this.
I am thinking
of his movies again, when you're talking about.
You ever see Rich Eisen?
You could have like a ring girl who comes out and with a sign that just says "Gimp Time," and then she walks around the entire. Yeah,
God knows.
It stands or it's overturned. The person could be overturned. That would be cruel.
Right, but it would be the purest form of refereeing because this person wouldn't even understand the game of football. They would have no idea.
I almost the sequestered in the jury kind of impartial, right? You're hidden. You're not even watching the game. They bring him out. Catch or no catch. Did he push him? Did he not? Did he steal? You know, yeah.
He doesn't even know what stadium he's in. That's my whole point.
You travel, it's pure. You move him. Then you have to move him around.
Oh, no. Each stadium has their own gimp, Chris. Let's not make a mock. That's my mockery of this. But yeah, I don't appreciate your tone. Your slightly condescending tone there. But
I kid.
This is well thought out. You're in a dark basement. You have no idea where you're at. You've been abducted by Al Qaeda and put into a gimp dungeon. Chris Meyer, everyone, the podcast CMI, the Chris Meyer's Interview Podcast. New episodes weekly on Podcast One, and lots of great guests on that show. So check it out. And Chris, thank you for joining us. This has been a smile.
Give my best to Chet Waterhouse and anytime. You guys always take sports to a different level. I like that.
Thanks, Chris.
Thanks,
all right,
Chris.
Take care. Thanks. Yeah.
All right, Jeff/Chet, what do you got? We got some picks, or let me hit this spot and then we'll do some betting lines.
Some odds and picks. Yep.
Bet online. Yeah, football. It is back, everyone. No kidding. Vikings at Texans, Steelers at Titans. That's a good game. Bills at Raiders. Ooh, that'd be an interesting one. Chargers at Buccaneers. That's good, too. Patriots and Chiefs. That's the game I'm going to be looking forward to. Eagles at 49ers. More options to wager than anywhere online. From spreads and totals to props, get in on season opening bonuses and wager on division and championship futures. Head to BetOnline today. Take advantage of all the great sign-up bonuses. Visit betonline.ag, our exclusive partner at Podcast One. Don't forget, use the promo code Podcast One. Sign up for your bonus today. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. All right, what do you got, Jeff?
Well, let's check the BetOnline line from BetOnline. Tonight, Yankees at Indians. Ooh. That's actually maybe the most competitive baseball series going right now. Moneyline Yanks -108, Indians -102. Tomorrow, the unlikely Milwaukee Brewers at the Dodgers. Moneyline Dodgers -230, Brewers +208. NBA Finals Game 1, Heat and Lakers. Lakers are 5-point favorites. On our Bet the Farm bets, Adams 3-0 on his Rams bet. Packers won, so I'm 3-0. Bald Brian. 1-2. And Gina's Chiefs, she's in a holding pattern. Gina's in a holding pattern, which I believe is a Beatles song. I'm not sure. That's the Bet Online line. I'm Jeff Cesario for All Balls, All Sports.
All Balls, All Sports. Presented by Bet Online, your online sportsbook expert.
All right. I'm going to be in Salt Lake City at Wise Guys this weekend. We're doing a live podcast for the early show, and then stand-up shows for the evening late shows. Dave Koechner's going to be on, who we love, on Friday. And Mark Geragos and I are doing a matinee show, 4 o'clock on Saturday, 4 o'clock Saturday. So we're doing a live Reasonable Doubt there. Lafayette, Louisiana, Cajun Dome, Saturday, October 24th. We'll do a live pod there. Drew's going to be on that show and stand-up as well. And you can watch in your car and then get out of your car and have a kind of a pod. It's kind of an outdoor thing where you don't have to stay in your car. So until next time, it's Adam Carolla for Chris Myers and Michael Ian Black and Gina and Bald and Jeff Cesario saying mahalo.
Follow the Adam Carolla Show on Twitter at Adam Carolla Show. Follow us on Twitter at Adam Carolla. Big thanks to Bet Online. And leave us a voicemail at 888-634-1744. Pick up Adam's new book, I'm Your Emotional Support Animal. It's available everywhere. The link's at adamcarolla.com.
Hey, movie lovers, who needs a theater when you have Pluto TV? Grab your popcorn and your streaming device because free movies are here. Pluto TV is your home for movies. Great movies are playing anytime in over 20 exclusive movie channels of action, horror, rom-coms, and more. Watch hits like Saving Private Ryan, Pretty in Pink, and Charlie's Angels all for free. No signups, no fees, no contracts. Ever. Download the free Pluto TV app on any device.